Hello and welcome to the Modern Fairy Sightings podcast, where we listen to people's fairy encounters. But take heed, we're not talking about winged Tinkerbells here. These are real fairies, real encounters that took people like you and I by surprise. Stay a while and hear their stories. My name is Jo Hickey Hall, and I'm a folklore researcher. Dear listener, I hope you're well. As you might be able to hear, I'm losing my voice a little bit at the moment after an illness, so please bear with me. We've just had the full supermoon total eclipse in Scorpio, and it's certainly getting some transitions going in people's lives. Some are feeling it as energising and welcome, while for others it's really unearthing some difficult issues that need to be looked at and dealt with. Whichever way you're experiencing this, it's certainly emotional. So honour however it is you're feeling by giving yourself the time and space to sit with it and work through it. As always, I'm finding that meditation and walking helps. If you're looking for connection, there are usually groups in your neighbourhood that meet in person or online. Community helps us through these difficult times, as does connecting with nature, of course. We have some great interviews planned in the coming months, and as you know, I'm releasing monthly episodes at the moment while I dig deeper into my research, the Modern Fairy Sightings Project. If you'd like to support this project and step closer to the action, you can join us at Patreon, where you'll also get 2 additional episodes a month. We're a welcoming community open to discussing matters of the other world and sharing ideas. And thank you very much to all my wonderful supporters. And I look forward to chatting with you next weekend. This episode presents a catalogue of phenomena such as orbs, moving objects, and activity that we might commonly recognise as being spirits and poltergeists. But as we're increasingly finding, these phenomena are also attributed to fairies, particularly if the location obstructs the fairy path or the fae have been antagonised in some way. I'll be back at the end to share some really fascinating details about the main house where some of the activity took place. Plus, we'll hear an orb sighting from 1910. And there's also a bonus episode on Patreon. I'll tell you more about that at the end. There is a warning in this show. There are mentions of violent domestic abuse. Although nothing is described, it is mentioned in passing.
Lot of standing stones and ancient things in this area, so you know, maybe that's why sort of it's a weird place, you know. It is. I think I told you about the time it was my daughter's son. He was only about 2 or 3, and my niece had gone out. It was December. They'd gone out the back door here, and it got very dark, and I shouted. Now there's 2 acres of garden. So it's only a small cottage, but the garden's big. And there was no answer. So I got concerned, as it was very, very cold, very frosty. And I walked up in between the trees, over a bank, over the ditch, through some more trees, into the next field. But when I got out the back door, I seen an orb in the sky. Well, it wasn't in the sky, it was there, and I followed it, and you know, it led me into the next field, and then it stopped, and I thought in my head, logic, I thought, well, that's the eldest, that must be a handbag that she's put on the tree with a big silver buckle, because you just think logically, you know. And I looked down underneath, and they were both under a blanket. And the boy, the 3-year-old, was fast asleep. Sadie had just woke up. And she said, we were playing houses, we've fallen asleep. And I looked up and the orb had gone. So I told her off, you know, but and brought them in. But, I mean, it was bitter cold. You know, there are other wild animals around here as well, you know, and sort of, I was worried sick. But I mean, yeah. I have no explanation for that orb, but sort of, I like to think it was the fairies, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but another, this is only last, this is the end of January. Mm. My granddaughter went out on the horse, and about 20 minutes later, I opened the back door and I heard someone shout, "Granny," and I knew straight away she'd fallen off the horse, and I went belting down the lane, and after about, well, after a good 5-6 minutes, her mother phoned me up and she said, "Fallen off the horse." I said, "I know." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "I heard her." So she said, "Listen," the horse then started, she said, "Is the horse anywhere near you?" I said, "I've just seen him now. Bring him back," she said, "and then go down and collect." Well, it was miles away. And he hadn't called me either. And doesn't call me Granny. But I knew when the little boy said Granny, that it was a granddaughter that was in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That is another, you know, would that be a little fairy? I've no idea. But, I mean, my kids think I'm a wee bit weird, but the thing is, you know, a bit psychic, but sort of, I've no explanation at all.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, no, I think that's perfectly natural, don't you, that there would be something within us that we know when our children, when our loved ones are in trouble.
Well, and she said to me, you know, "Did you call my name?" And she said, "No." And she hadn't, she'd fallen so far away, I'd never heard her.
No.
You know, so I had to get the car to pick her up.
Oh.
But she wasn't hurt.
She was okay, that's
good. You know,
good.
We just grabbed the horse. But I don't know. I can't differentiate between fairies and spirits. You know, I don't, it's only recently I've started to think about more of the fairy side, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I lived in a haunted house about 20 kilometres from here. And that was something else. That was no fairies. Although I was told that the people who'd built it originally were druids. And I said, "So?" And this person said, "Witches." And I suppose, you know, that was a local person told me that because they knew I was having a lot of trouble with them, with ghosts, literally. I mean, I was living with a man there at the time, my partner. I'd been with my partner, but he was terrified as well.
Right. But, this was in your previous house, was it?
Yes, it was. An old house. The first thing, I was painting a wall in the bedroom once, and my father had been dead about 6 months, and I heard his voice say, "Don't worry about your mother." And I was on my own, so I answered him back. You know, it always comes from the right-hand corner, I don't know. But I said, "Yes, because you want her up there with you, and she's not well, but she's not ready yet." And he said, "Don't worry about your mother." And then sounding very, very frightened, he said, "She'll be all right." And then sounding really, really concerned, he said, "Look after yourself." And then he was gone. Well, I went, I had no mobile phone. This is in the 90s. And I wasn't near a phone. It was the next day I managed to get into Bantry and I phoned up my daughter. And she asked me what time I'd heard this. And it was the same time the ambulance had been called because my mother had had a stroke.
Oh, now, goodness, yeah.
She wasn't supposed to milk it. I went straight over there and I knew she'd be all right. I told Biddy, I said, because Daddy said to her. And she did. She made a marvellous recovery, surprised everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And on getting back to the house, the day I got back, my partner was drunk and violent. But he, you know, it wasn't this bad. But the day I got back to the house, he nearly killed me. Now, my father hadn't known that he was violent in this life, but he obviously did in the spirit world. And there was a lot of funny things happened in that house. And I was told by someone once it was the spirits helping me because of him, because he was a very evil man. But anything that was crystal would be found smashed. I remember I was painting a wall upstairs. It was 5 bedrooms in it. And I could hear a hell of a racket. And I couldn't quite make out where it was coming from. I shouted downstairs and they said, no, it's coming from up there. Well, later on that night, when I went into one of the bedrooms, I had a Victorian crystal dressing set, you know, on top of the chest of drawers, you know, the candlesticks, a little powder bowl, all sorts of things. And it was just a pile of crystal in the middle. And there's no way it could have got like that, you know. But I don't know. I know sort of, the radio would turn itself on in the middle of the night.
Right.
It would, and it would be so loud. It was louder than you could make it go. And I remember once I'd seen someone, I was working in the morning, so I went to bed early, but I seen someone go into the downstairs room as I went to the loo. But I thought it was him and I thought he'd changed his clothing. But when he came up to bed, the radio started blaring. So I told him I thought it was atmospheric. So I said, go down and turn it off. And he came up again and it started again. And then next time he went round the whole house looking, because it wasn't a push button radio, it was a knob, and the knob was very stiff. And whatever was done, the knob was being turned up, you know. But I don't know. That's the last time I stayed in that house. He'd gone to work away. I went through every room in the house, checked all the doors, all the windows. I chose the smallest bedroom to sleep in, and I had to pull the doors, big oak floorboards, and I had to pull the door over a big hump in the floorboards to make sure, you know, to get it to close and to make sure it was closed taut. But as soon as I woke up in the morning, now that it was a small room, that my bed was maybe 3 foot from the door, and the door was wide open to the wall. And the thought of something watching me when I was asleep, I just got up in my pajamas, walked straight downstairs, opened the door, contained myself. And then when I felt brave enough, I went in and I packed a bag and I never went back.
No.
But then, oh, goodness. There are only some things. Oh, that's another house though. See, I seem to bring it around with me.
It's funny that you know, when people have experiences, they do seem to have multiple experiences. I know it's true for so many of us. We've had multiple experiences, and I don't know if it's kind of that we're just open to it. I wouldn't say that we necessarily attract it as such. It's more that we're open to it, and we would notice more than others. But then at the same time, the radio being blasted off, things being smashed, that's really overtly, you know, that's activity that's happening in the external.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know, I've got a sister tensed on a bit. My family, my granny used to read tea leaves and things. Mm-hmm. And the bishop of, I suppose it was Belfast, but the bishop of Armagh, whatever it is around there, Antrim, he threatened to excommunicate her, so she must have been good. So, but
take that as a compliment then.
Oh, yeah. My sister does the tarot and she used to do it on the telly.
My goodness. Yeah.
And I did hands. I've given it up because it drains me. But I've seen quite a few things. I've no explanation.
No. What did you feel though? Did you feel that it was evil, or did you feel something else?
The thing is, I was going through hell with my partner because he was evil. And I think those spirits were there protecting me from him. Mm-hmm. Because he was terrified. He was putting some music on once, and I was watching the television in the same room, and something made me look over at him, and I seen the DVD rise in the air, float slowly into the middle of the room, and just drop on the floor. And he did too.
Goodness
me. And did you see that? You know, did you see that? And I said, yes. And he said, look, if it had been the vibrations, it would have just dropped there. But he was...
that's poltergeist activity, isn't it?
It was rife in that house. I can't explain, but that house was It's still there, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of anything else from that house. Can you?
Only kind of went to the tapestry when I was in bed, came down to the booth.
Oh, yeah.
And Ned was staying there.
Yeah, we stayed there, and sort of the picture fell off the wall when she was in the bedroom.
Oh, God. It,
great
above thing. The bed.
It was above the bed, and it was a nasty, well, it was about 3 foot by four.
Huge.
One of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, no.
And the picture had just gone straight.
Yeah, she said that the nail was still there. The picture was still, there was no reason for it to go like that.
No.
You know, but maybe it didn't like.
Yeah, what did she feel in the house? What kind of emotion?
I had bad feelings in the house.
Bad.
Never liked it. Didn't. I sort of.
And you had no luck then?
No, well, I don't know. It was him. It was.
No luck.
I really think that sort of. Well, I did. I'd hear my dead brother in law say, all right. He was looking after me because he had a fair idea about the bad bugger that I was with. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, another time I dreamt he'd come up to me in the dream and he said, you better ring your sister. And I wasn't talking to her and I thought, I'm not. And he had a twinkle in his eye and he said, no, you better ring her. She said, you've got a big mouth. Now that would make me.
Is that what she would usually, that what she'd say as well?
No, it isn't. It's, you know, but it's something I wouldn't tolerate. So yeah. I went into the next room and my mother, in the dream, my mother was in bed and she was looking for something on the cover. And I told her, I said, he's in there and he's told me to ring that she set up a big mouth. I'm going to ring her. And he came in and twinkling his eye again into the room and he said, now don't forget to ring Lizzie. And he walked out the other door and I'd been dead about 6 months, bless him. Well, yeah, it must have been. But I rang my sister and I hadn't spoken to her in 12 months because sort of we'd had a big fallout. But I rung her and her daughter had had a baby the night before. And she was a grandmother, you know. And the thing is, the daughter had had the baby prematurely and it was touch and go, but everything was fine. But
she just needed to hear from you at that time.
Yeah, for to tell me that, you know, and there, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, hearing these stories, I just feel that's really natural. Why shouldn't we still have, I still have connection with loved ones that have passed over. I talk to them, I hear, I have conversations with them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they give me advice. Sometimes they, you know, they pop in when I'm least expecting it and they'll say something. And you know, and I do listen. And why shouldn't it be that way? This is if those other worlds are okay, it's not this world that we're in, but we share a space, we share some kind of space because you hear them, I hear them, it's a normal thing. And you know, and it's like you said, it's not all good either. There are some bad energies too, as there are bad people in this world that you want to avoid. There are, you know, places and energies in this world that we want to avoid. But, you know, it's just part of the bigger picture, really, isn't it? That for whatever reason, we're not sort of used to connecting and living side by side with. But we do. You're doing it. It sounds like it's a part of your life.
I read my daughter's hand about 3 years ago when she's having a bad time and I told her, I can see you in America by lakes with American, and she's now getting married to an American. So there we are. So
fabulous.
I don't know. I'm not reading no more hands, though. I get drained with it and I'm leaving it there.
Do you?
Yes, I get fed up. But I mean, I don't see any. This house has got no ghosts. But and since he's gone, there's nothing bad. I do hear a lot of loved ones who've passed over, but it's always on the right-hand side. Not so much in this house, but when I go over to Wales a bit and I stay at my mother's place, and it always comes from the right-hand side of the room. I've never heard a voice come from anywhere else. You hear these voices, you know?
Yeah.
my father come back in a dream, and it wasn't like a dream. It was like, you know, it was though I was there. But in this house again, it was I was having a rough time with one of my sons, but he was in a bad accident, I was drained. I was, and I walked into the room where my mother. I had my mother here for 2 years before she died. She died of Alzheimer's, but I walked into her room, and I was knocked away by, she used to wear Chanel number 5. Now the room has been redecorated. There's nothing of hers in there anymore. And I was hit by Chanel number 5.
Yeah.
And the room was icy cold. And I thought, whoa, you know, and I just, it's that room there. See, so it's just there.
Okay,
And I sat down the couch, I thought, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
And then I thought, that's mum. And I got up, went into the room again, sat down on the chair, and I could feel her give me a big hug. And all my problems just went away. And I had to go back over to Wales about 2 or 3 days later. And I was stopped off in the all-night Tesco's for a few bits. And I was by the frozen food counter, the whatever was in it. And the Chanel number 5 came again. So I thought there was nobody else in Tesco's. No. So I knew that she was there. But
It's such a great comfort. It really is.
She was my best friend, my mother, she was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's really lovely to know that they're still around, and that, you know, when you're open to connecting, because, you know, love never dies. It goes on. It never, ever dies. And you can. It's very hard to explain that to people sometimes, particularly if they've just lost somebody. But you can still talk to them, and you can still can still communicate with them. And it means a lot to be able to do that. If only more people knew that.
Well, we're lucky. Know. Well, does it run in your family then, being sort of in touch with spirits?
I think it does, yeah.
Nice to know someone else who's experienced the same things, because apart from my sister, she's pretty good at some things, but I don't know anyone else, you know, who can pick up. Do you know, I had a friend who I... No, my daughter said she doesn't want to. It's not a good thing. Because I pick up also when things happen. I knew the minute my son had the car accident. I was shopping in Wales at the time, and I went hysterical, and I had to be brought into a pub for a brandy. Mm-hmm. I got home, and the phone call came. He was dead on arrival in the hospital, but he survived. He broke nearly every bone in his body, lost his arm, you know, he's a hell of a state. But I knew sort of the minute he had it. I know a lot. I don't like knowing these things. Sort of I've put up walls. My friend was I nursed an evil friend once. I think he was evil, wasn't he? But well, up to no good. He had he didn't believe in an afterlife, and I said, well, if you can, come back, you know. This is about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he said, I will if I can. So a few weeks after he died, this black shadow started living in the place in Wales with me. My mother's little place I've kept on. And I could see it walking past the hallway. It sat up beside me on the couch. It would sit beside me at the bottom of the bed at night. And, you know, sort of it was draining me, and I was getting very depressed. It was very dark, and it wasn't nice at all. In fact, my son, the one who's had the accident, he realised I wasn't myself when he came up after about a week with a bottle of wine, a friend, and we had a chat and had a really good night, and the shadow went and never came back. But I think that was all. And he came back, and he's not in a good place, because he was quite a wicked man when he was alive. I think he was up to a lot of no good that I didn't hear about, you know. Mm-hmm. But, and he didn't believe in an afterlife, but I think he's suffering now.
He proved his point, and then thankfully went away. But then you say that, you know, it's you know, that you sometimes wish you didn't have it. But at the same time, the story of the orb coming and showing you where your grandchild was, you know, that's a gift, isn't it? And Yeah. How old was the other child that was?
Quite a lot older, about what?
6 years older.
About nine.
Yeah. She was about so 9 and 3. Yeah, and they would have. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how, do you remember how big the orb was when you saw it?
Yes, it was it was bigger than my hand outstretched. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was quite big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just an orb like you get on photographs sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and did you say it was, what colour was it?
It was the same as an orb on a photograph, if you've ever seen them. It was full of light and just like a round and just like a, I sometimes get orbs on photographs, you know, and sort of just like them. It was, but
it didn't have a colour at all.
No, no, it wasn't blue. No,
did you only have a prism?
No, well, it was just like a star colour, mm-hmm. the colour of a star, you know,
mm-hmm. like a brilliant white light.
Yes, round, and it didn't light up the whole area around it.
No,
just the orb, you know, which I didn't think anything of. I was frightened for the kids, so I wanted to. I followed anything, you know, and it was. In the next field they were, but I was a precocious girl and should have done it for trouble. You know, she would have got him to sleep out there, not realising that it was dangerous. Mm. I'm quite a big girl as well, so she's enough honour for the 3-year-old was just a little thin thing. You know what I mean?
Baby.
Like, he wasn't quite three, but he was thin, yeah.
Oh,
but,
I mean, goodness, yeah.
So you're right, if I hadn't seen that. I live here on my own and sort of and it's in the middle of nowhere, you know, sort of there aren't any neighbours. It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
That's been wonderful.
It is. But and I'm not afraid. I feel very safe here. But it's not an old house. It looks old, but no, my son built it, one of my sons.
Okay.
You're more susceptible to ghosts and spirits up until the age of 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I remember Kayla was obsessed with them.
Oh yes, this is it. We talk that you're more susceptible to seeing ghosts and spirits up to the age of 5.
Yeah.
Now, well, I know when I was about 8 or 9, I used to see lots of faces at night.
Yes.
And I couldn't sleep for them. And they were pushing each other out of the way to look at me while I was in bed. Mm-hmm. And I remember one had black hair and black eyes and her back from her face and a green shiny high neck something on. And she was in charge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in the end, I'd poke my fingers in my eyes until I seen stars so that because I'd see them whether my eyes were open or closed so that I could see the stars, you know. But... But I wasn't afraid because I thought other people seen them too.
I know what you mean. I had it when I was ill when I was little, and I remember lying there in bed, and these faces, they were quite big. There were 3 of them.
Yeah.
These ones were kind of coming down and saying things to me, and like I was fascinated by it. I was just lying there watching it, and I think I remember telling my mum, but she, you know, they just think, oh, you're make believe or playing or whatever. They don't really understand, do they? But I remember that really clearly to this day. I must have been about 8 or 9, something like that.
There we are. But and I think, you know, that when I was a child and seeing those faces, the one woman had the jet black hair and the big black eyes, you know, and I
peering in at us from this other dimension somehow.
They looked as amazed, they did. They sort of yeah, crikey. But I didn't, I don't know. Other than that, I was all right as a child. I know sort of my sister would see things more than me. But there we are. But I don't know. We'll do.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's really fascinating stuff. It's really interesting.
Someone who's the same as me. Yeah.
There's many of us. There's many of us. I've got a Patreon group, and we just have a good chat about these things because there are so many. there's so many of us, so don't feel that, you know, you're the only one, because there are lots and lots of us that have these experiences.
And I'll sort of go walkabouts, and I'll take some pics of the dolmens.
Thanks, I'd love that. Yeah. Have you ever tried sitting down at any of these dolmens and meditating, or just seeing what was there?
No, but that's weird, because there was the field next to my son had a rock formation in the middle of it, and I had breast cancer about 18 years ago, and I used to go down to this rock formation, and I would feel so much at peace, and I had a feeling it was a fairy fort. And I said this to the old farmer, and he wasn't, you know, but I mean, it was only after that, well, he got the rock breaker in and broke it all up, but only that I found the little dolmen not far from it, well, yeah, a couple 100 yards away, you know. So yeah, I love stones. I wanted to be a geologist, but I do sort of and as I said, West Cork is full of standing stones. It is a marvelous place like that, and there's a lot of there's designs on them carved into them as well. I was told by one local farmer that one farmer had found one with a big swirl in it, and that he hadn't called in the powers that be, and said he just broke it up.
Yeah,
I know.
Just makes me feel sick. It's just terrible.
I know. Well, listen now, I'll let you go. And it's been great talking to you.
Thank you. And, lovely to speak to you. Really great. Thank you so much for sharing all your tales with me. As like I said, there's just so many people that have these experiences. We are not alone, and certainly not alone from the other side either. They're with us.
Oh yeah. So yes, yeah, very much with me. She is. And my father moved on, though. He has, since, you know, he's been gone now 20 odd years, so he has moved on. But Dad was a big believer in reincarnation, so so I don't know, but yeah, possibly, yeah, he's around somewhere. But I think we're all one anyway, you see,
and absolutely. You know,
and why we're all arguing and rowing and jealous, and I'm lucky, I've never been jealous in my life, you know, but I mean, some of us are lucky that way, but there we are. I'm not a negative person, but
you're absolutely right. It's ridiculous nonsense, isn't it? All this conflict is just nonsensical. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. I do think, actually, you know, I've got a feeling that we're an alien planet, and that sort of we were put on this planet because we haven't found the missing link. No, we're a bad lot from another planet, and there's some of us, the good does shine through, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. I do believe that, you know, that the those that are behaving in this kind of really messed up way are in the minority anyway. I think most people are, you know, loving, and
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of loving people in my life, though. I've had a lot of bad people, honestly. So I don't know.
There's a lot going on.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm quite happy living in the middle of nowhere now. I am, but there we are. At least you can sunbathe in the garden with nothing on.
That's what I miss as well.
I've done that last time. My son and his work partner, their builders, they turned up. So in the direction. Oh God.
Dear.
It's your own fault. There we are. Right. Listen, I'll let you go, girl.
Okay, all the best then. And keep in touch.
Yes,
all right then.
Bye bye then.
There was so much interesting history attached to the house. It was situated in a tiny village in rural West Cork. Across the road there had been a monastic order at one time, which was now the site of the cemetery. Looking at an aerial map, there looks to be a fairly substantial mound next to it, which looks to me like it could be a fairy fort, although it's not mentioned in the history of the village, and the guest wasn't aware of whether it was. The house itself had been the village pub at one point. One previous occupant of the house, at the beginning of the 20th century, was a young girl who contracted rheumatic fever aged 9 and had very sadly died later in her mid-teens. 5 years after her burial, the family exhumed the body to add another relative in the family grave and found the girl's body to have remained intact. A new headstone was added, announcing her body to be incorrupt, and as a result the cemetery became a place of pilgrimage. Looking at a map and consulting megalithicportal.co.uk, the wider general area is surrounded by standing stones, stone circles, and stone rows. Intriguingly, the house itself sits right on a three-way crossroad. Crossroads are strong motifs in folklore and the supernatural because they are seen as being between the worlds. In fact, they have been featured previously in this podcast as the scene of some otherworldly encounters. They were the traditional place of execution throughout history, including Greece and 19th century England, and those denied a Christian burial, such as criminals and people who'd committed suicide, were often buried at crossroads. I talk more about the topic in episode 5 of this podcast, Crossing Paths, which features an unknown creature who steps out in front of a woman's truck on her route home. She shares her first-hand story of that encounter. You can check the show notes for further details at scarletofthefae.com. As a last point, crossroads are also connected with the goddess Hecate, also known as Hecate, who is associated with witchcraft. In the bonus episode on Patreon, our guest reveals something she's been told which links the house with witches or druids. She describes further experiences with a doppelganger or fetch, an incubus encounter, and strange symbols which appeared on the bedroom ceiling on the same day that proved to be a landmark turning in our world's history.
The whole ceiling, it was quite a domed ceiling in the Victorian extension, and white, but it was all marked out in like a graph, as though in luminous paint, as though someone had put the finger in luminous paint and drew boxes on the ceiling.
Now, the experience which prompted our guest to contact me was the orb, which led her to her grandchildren and ultimately prevented them from getting injured or lost. Seen with the naked eye, orbs are glowing balls of light that do not throw light outwards as a household light or a torch might. They seem to be compounded balls of energetic matter, representing consciousness of some sort. They can appear in people's auras as their own thought forms, but in consideration of people's first-hand experiences, they also seem to be energy forms of otherworldly beings, including spirits of those who've passed over. And they're also regularly reported to be seen when UFOs appear. It's as if they can shift their shape from ball to craft and back again. In episode 8 of this podcast, The Good, the Bad and the Tickly, a bright orb crossed a room and changed into a fairy, while some simply remain in orb form but emit an emotional energy, as in episode 20, Occurrence at the Creek. Some might dismiss the idea of orbs as a sort of New Age invention, but interestingly, unusual lights that sound very much like orbs are described in Evans Wendt's The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. Testimony from a County Kerry seer, a collective vision of spiritual beings. Some weeks before Christmas, 1910, at midnight on a very dark night, I and another young man, who like myself was then about 23 years of age, were on horseback on our way home from Limerick. When near Listowel, we noticed a light about half a mile ahead. At first it seemed to be no more than a light in some house, but as we came nearer to it, and it was passing out of our direct line of vision, we saw that it was moving up and down, to and fro, diminishing to a spark, then expanding into a yellow, luminous flame. Before we came to Listowel, we noticed two lights, about 100 yards to our right, resembling the light seen first. Suddenly, each of these lights expanded into the same sort of yellow, luminous flame, about 6 feet high by 4 feet broad, In the midst of each flame, we saw a radiant being, having human form. Presently, the lights moved towards one another and made contact, whereupon the two beings in them were seen to be walking side by side. The beings' bodies were formed of a pure, dazzling radiance, white like the radiance of the sun, and much brighter than the yellow light or aura surrounding them. So dazzling was the radiance, like a halo, round their heads that we could not distinguish the countenances of the beings. We could only distinguish the general shape of their bodies, though their heads were very clearly outlined because this halo-like radiance, which was the brightest light about them, seemed to radiate from or rest upon the head of each being. As we travelled on, a house intervened between us and the lights, and we saw no more of them. It was the first time we had ever seen such phenomena, and in our hurry to get home, we were not wise enough to stop and make further examination. But ever since that night, I have frequently seen, both in Ireland and England, similar lights with spiritual beings in them. What a great encounter! Stories like these have been talked about since the beginning of time. Humans have always had a fascination with the unknown, maybe because we know innately that it's a part of us. Perhaps on some level we are like these beings of light, radiating and dazzling outwards into the external world. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and consider sharing it with one other person who might enjoy it too. And do review and rate and get those 5 stars up there if you're feeling it. It all helps to support this project. As I say in the episode, surely it's natural for us to connect with the wider aspects of nature, those phenomena that we currently call the supernatural, particularly in times of danger, when we are suffering and anxious. Now feels like a good time to explore seeing the world from a different perspective. Allow yourself to play with this, be hopeful, and always remain curious.